for which tomorrow may never come. Father, we thank you tonight. Be with us as we go from this place.
Oh, no, am I off or am I just have a big mouth? Good, okay, good. All right, that we should have no story time tonight because we got singing. What do you think? So we have story time? Yes, no. What does that mean? That means no? But that means yes. All right, well, we'll have story time. All right, well, story time. Well, the story came a long, long, long time ago. How long was it? A long time ago. Very good. A long time ago, there was a man by the name of Jonah. Ha ha, we know that story, right? Jonah. Oh, come here. Put your hand up. Come here. Come here, Jonah. Come right here. Come sit with me, Jonah. Here we have Jonah. And we need a big whale. I mean, we need a whale. Sorry. Don't want to. Anybody want to volunteer to be a whale? All right, on the stripes right back there, you said yes. Yeah, come on up, yeah. Come on up. All right, so we'll go over there. So a long, long time ago, there was a man by the name of Jonah. And God said to Jonah, Jonah, I want you to go to, what was the place name? Huh? Nineveh. Hear that? Go to Nineveh. And I want you to tell the people that they need to repent and come back to me. And Jonah got up, and Nineveh is over there. Where did you go? Over there. And he went over. Oh, don't go too fast. Get ready, whale. Make sure you grab him nice and gobble him up. And he started, he's running away from God. So you went straight to the whale. You got to, you know, yeah, all right. Don't kill him now. And he got swallowed by a big fish, they say. And he remained in the fish how long? Was it 1 day, 2 days, 3 days? Was it 3 days? 3 days. Remember Jesus talked about that? He was buried in 3 days and he rose again, right? Just like Jonah. And for 3 days, Jonah remained in the belly of the whale. And then the whale just vomited him out, just kind of. Throw him out, you know. Yeah, no. Oh, good. And Jonah came out. And Jonah, come back and sit with me, Jonah. Well, go back into the ocean. And Jonah came out and he wasn't too happy. And, and God came in the second time. God gave him a second chance. Now, if a man gives you a second chance and it's disobedient to God, we don't do it. But when God gave us a second chance, I want to be sure and take that second chance to go. I'm kind of cutting the story short because I want to get to the moral of the story. Because you know the story. But anyway, but Jonah was so happy because he knew that. He said, you know what? If I go and I tell these people what God says, they're going to repent. And everything is going to, you know, God, you're just wasting my time. Just strike them down. They're evil people. Just get rid of them. No second chance. No grace. No mercy. Just get rid of them. Jonah didn't want to tell. As a matter of fact, somewhere along the line, Jonah went grieving and mumbling and tumbling and everything else, and got under, you know, a tree, and God gave him a tree to shade the sun, and a raven to come and bring food for him, and he wasn't really satisfied. And then the tree dried up and died, and the water was gone, and the raven was going to bring some food and all that stuff. And well, it so happened he told the people. And later on, they did repent. But we want to cut the story short. If you could go back and sit down. Very good. Just take something there as you're going, Jonah. And the whale. Where's the whale? Come on, whale. Boy, he's really going down to the boy. He see what he wants. A man that know what he wants. You want the suckers? Hey. Hey, your mom is looking at you. Your dad is not too happy. Anyway, well, we got some question. While he's trying to get it, so he did get it. He's determined to get what he would. And he said, "No man, I'd grab whatever." So let's see what happens here. God gives you a direction to do something, but you know, sometimes if you don't do it, God's going to find someone else to do it. But you should be happy when God called you to do something, to do it. Jonah did not want to. God gave him a second chance. He still didn't want to. He complained and he groaned. But you know, God is a God of second chance. And then God even provided for him after all of that groaning and moaning and complaining. And he still wasn't happy. But God will have his way. God will have his way. You know, sometimes if you don't do it, you're going to find somebody else to do it. Why allow somebody else to get the blessing that you can get? See, God has a blessing for every one of you, for you, for you, and you. You also, with your little suckers in your mouth, God has a blessing for you. But the blessings comes when we are be obedient to God. I don't know if you remember, I talk about being under umbrella, a protection. And if you stay in God's protection, you don't have to worry about the enemy. He can't touch you. He might try to, but once you shift away and go away, like Jonah did, he lost the protection of God. So I want to remind you today as you grow older to remember that when God called you to do something, don't hesitate. Don't try to run in the opposite direction. You stay close, follow God's direction. Because sometimes that big whale will swallow you, and sometimes you never get out. Jonah had a second chance, but it's not guaranteed to have a second chance. With God you do, but in this world we live in today, it may not be a second chance. So I thought I'd give you a short story today, but I have some questions for you. If you remember, yesterday I preached about two different things. Two minerals, what it's called. Is your hand up or is your hand down? Oh, your hand is up. Okay, go ahead. Salt and light. Since you said that, tell me one thing that salt is good for. Preserve. Very good. So go ahead, get yourself. So salt is a preservative. Remember we said we want you young people to be the preservative of this world. To preserve. Mean to don't let it spoil. And how do you do that? By being in God's word, even at your young age. So salt preserve. What else it does? It gives flavor. Come on up. It gives flavor. Are you being flavor? Does people like to be around you? Do they love to be, you know? Do you give flavor? Do you make a difference? You say, well, I'm too young. Yes, you can. You have friends that is flavorless because they don't have Jesus Christ in their hearts. But you have him, I believe. And if you don't, by tomorrow night, by tonight you should. Don't even wait for tomorrow night. Accept him as Lord and Savior. Because tomorrow night we're going to talk about something that could be a little hard to receive because it's about salvation. Question number two. Why should we shine our light? Okay, go ahead, young man. No, the next one. Yeah, you. Yeah. Yeah, you, yeah. I don't know your name. Just stand up. Yeah, me. Yes. Right? And when they see it, what happens? Do they glorify you? Let's keep standing. Do they glorify you and look how bright your light is shining? Or what happens? Yeah? What do you think? Somebody want to help him? You keep standing. Keep standing. Don't worry. All right, let's try you. Yeah, you're right here in the. People would like you. That's good too. I'm gonna stand up now. Yeah. So let's get one more other person back. All right, here.
No, they weren't glorifying
you.
They glorify God.
Very good, very good. But you know, just because you stand up, you get to come too. Don't worry. There's no losers in this game, because it's brave to stand up. Come on, all three of you, come get something. See, it's not about me. Whatever I do is not to glorify me. is to shine the light so they can see Jesus. Now, are we the light or is Christ the light? Who is the light? Jesus is the light. And what do? We reflect his light. Very good. Come on up. Boy, it's going down. Very, very soon you'll be able to get in. Okay, then we had a story yesterday about a... You're a smart guy there, huh? A young prophet and an old one. And we learned a little lesson. Whose voice should you listen to? Go ahead in the green, yeah. God's voice. Very good. You listen to God's voice. His voice is the one you would listen to. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Okay. Blessed. Oh, there's a hard one. The very first thing I said yesterday was, blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Finish the verse. Yeah. Very good. Blessed the poor in spirit, for this kingdom will come on up again. And the last one is, what would the weak inherit? I mean, the and the hand went up. What would the meek inherit? Did you have your hand up, or is it just rubbing your face? Okay. What would the meek inherit? Dios. Very good. Come on up. All right. So now today you get the chance now that anybody who didn't get any candy, you get to give them one. That's your job today. All right. While they're getting the candy, we're going to have that song. We're going to get the song ready. And I know the song man is being distracted right now, so he didn't even hear me. And because he's getting ready for the Chitons to come up. So what I will do is do you want me to go now, or you want them to come now? All right, okay. So if you have the song, we'll have that song. I'll tell my story, and then the Chitons will come, and they will do three songs now. This young man insists that it must be four, so three now and one after, so we'll see. I think you know it well enough. Let's all stand and sing it. Ooh, and he made it new. It was what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story how I've overcome his goodness and mercy. And the power of the blood, I know that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. His goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. And the power in the blood. I've done, the things I've said, choices made that I regret. Oh, be still, be lost. Not for the mercy of God. And let's sing it out. For I'm alive, story, for I've overcome. Goodness and mercy, and the power of the blood.
I knew that not my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. His goodness and mercy and the power of His blood. Cross made for me, where my Savior buried. Now I am made by the mercy of God. What the made for me, where my sins laid buried. Now I am made by the mercy of God. Was the cross made for me, and my sin lived in me, all I can be by the mercy of God.
Father, tonight, again, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you tonight that you took the cross that was meant for me. My sins laid buried in the grave. We thank you for the freedom we have in Jesus Christ. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. We give you praise in Jesus' name. You got people say amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right, you may be seated. We're going to go a little bit. We have one more night for the story, so, of my life. If you knew me then, again, you will believe me now. If you knew me then, you'll believe me now. It's only because of His mercy. Only because of His grace. His mercy. Well, last night, as Sheldon shared, that we stopped when I was in New York City and June was in Trinidad. And she said something. Something happened, right? Something happened. What happened? What happened is that we had four girls. Like I told you, the first one died. So now we have three girls, and she was pregnant when she went back to Trinidad. And now we're going to have another baby on the way. A couple of months later, she moved. She came up. Two of my daughters, with one of my daughters, and two of them came with a pilot friend. And they all came up, and we're all together. And now we have three girls, and my wife is pregnant, and we have our first boy. First boy was born. Now I have four children. Living in the New York City, where I thought this is the place I need to be. This is the place that is going to gratify the flesh. This is the place that is going to fill that void. This is the place I'll find the love that I've been lacking for. This is the place. But yet there was still a void. There was still something needed. Three girls, one boy. We had the baby, the child. We thought everything would be great now. But yet, I was still involved in the drugs and all the stuff that I did before. But then, my wife one day, we're in the subway, New York City. It's a train station called Broadway Junction. It's three stops from where we lived for many, many years. And in there, she saw a man selling Bibles and giving out tracts. He came from Pennsylvania, lived in New York with a church there. My wife was afraid to go to church when she moved to New York City because you had David Koresh. And if you remember him, he would talk about a spacecraft and he's going to take people to heaven. And then you had Jim Jones who went to Guyana and slaughtered a lot of people. And then you had the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons. So she watched Christian television at home.
And she wouldn't go to church. I didn't care because, I mean, we still had fights and quarrels and things were still going rough. But you know, while she's in the subway station asking the man for a Bible, she wants to buy a Bible. And she heard of this new Bible, New Revelation. It's called the NIV. Because the King James is a kind of dull and dough, you know, kind of hard for a guy like me. At least so she thought. But he didn't have an NIV. So he said, listen, I don't have an NIV, but give me your name, your address, and your phone number, and I'll get one for you. And she gave it to him, and she walked away. She thought, wait, I give a man in New York City my name, my address, and my phone number. Ah, God, just let him lose it. But he never lost it. Matter of fact, he came. He brought a Jamaican girl with him. We lived in a little apartment in New York City. And he came and he brought the Bible. And he invited a church. Well, what's the church? It's a Mennonite church. Well, Mennonite. Again, we say we know about Jebusites and Hittites and all the other Tites and Ites and Mites. But Mennonite, what's that? Well, okay. He looked like a good guy. And the Jamaican girl was, you know. She's from Trinidad, Jamaica. So she went. So she went there, and it was a little different. I mean, she got saved in a charismatic church, ended up in a Pentecostal church. So we're shaking, we're rocking, you know. But in this Mennonite church, the guy came up, and he did like this. Whoop, ho, ho, ho. And she didn't know what was happening next. Because, you know, I mean, in the church she was going to, I mean, they were rocking. That Pentecostal church, a little old church on the main road. I mean, you could hear it shaking. Tambourines going, feet are jumping. And this guy with a white shirt and a black pants is doing the... It wasn't too bad. But anyway, she, you know, at the end of the service, people came and talked to her. They were very friendly, very open. She thought, wow, great. So the next week, the bishop was coming, the overseer. The big dogs are coming home. Well, next Sunday she came to church and an old man in a little white shirt and a black pants came up and said something and shared a message. And bishop? You expect a bishop with a big flowing robe, you know, bishop, you know. Somebody looking very elegant and guy, a little old man from Delaware that was the overseer. But again, the people was nice. And then what they did is they introduced her to two ladies. One was from the Cameroon, and one was from Jamaica. The one thing that the three of them had in common, my wife and these two ladies, was they were believers, they were Christians, their children were Christians, but their husband was not saved. So every Wednesday they would meet and they would pray. And they would pray that their husband would get saved, he would change his life. And their children would also come and pray, and the husband didn't know. We went out to work. But you know, sometimes we want people to change and God wants to do something in us. So God started showing those ladies that they need to submit. Wives, submit unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Wow. So Lord, what do you mean by that? Well, submit to me first. And then as you submit to me, you will submit unto these husbands as unto me. You're not doing it for them. It's all about me. It's all about me. I'm Jesus, and it's all about me. And that's what God was saying to them. Submission, a very hard word for many women today. But God used that. Now, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. I didn't care about that because I wasn't a Christian. And they started submitting. And my wife started submitting. And, you know, I still go to these late night parties, 11 o'clock, get my shoes ready, my clothes ready. And I love to dress. I mean, I used to be looking sharp. Now I get a little shabby, but back then I used to dress up. And we go to these parties in Brooklyn. They start 10, 11 o'clock. We go till 5, 6 in the morning. And I go in there, and I never like to beg, so I buy the drinks. I buy the liquor. Everybody's coming. We're eating. We're drinking. But I was losing the taste. Because what was happening at home is submission. See, I couldn't make her submit. It had to be voluntarily. And now she was submitting, and things were starting to go differently. We didn't have the quarrels as we used to have anymore, because I love a debate. But if I can't get a debate, there's no need to quarrel. I mean, I don't want to quarrel by myself. The quarrel comes with both sides. And she would, yes. And then one day she gave me this crazy thought. She said, you know, we don't have any money, but I want to give a tithe to the church. Give what? We don't have no money to buy. You want to give the church money? And she said, okay, it's not a problem. Whatever you want to do. Oh, man, why you make it so hard for me now? No, I don't want to give this God any money. Okay, just give it to him. And somehow things change a little bit. Man, this is good. And then she started having this peace about her. You see, the peace I was talking about, the peace I wanted, that void inside of me, she had that void filled. She had the joy of the Lord. The world couldn't take it, and the world didn't give it to her. She had the peace and the joy. And I wanted it. I wanted it really bad. But now, if I want it, I got to let go of the things of the world. So if I have this in my hand and I want this, I got to let this go to pick this up. But it's hard, because the flesh was in control. Remember the lady? You mean the woman at the well? How she wanted to live in water, but she didn't understand what it was. She said, if I get up this water, I'll never thirst again. I wouldn't have to come back here. And she was thinking of the temporary water, the physical water. Well, there was a struggle. There was a struggle until one day, something happened. Okay. So now we're going to get into the Chitons now. Something happened. So tomorrow we'll continue with the end, and we'll see what happened on that day. How did God was able to work? A little background, if you didn't hear. The Chitons and us, we met in prison. Right? We met in prison? Yeah, no, we wasn't behind the bars all the time. We get to go home every night. With Gospel Express, I was in Kenya, Africa, and then I got an email that I'll be preaching, and the Chitons are singing. Who's the Chitons? And I didn't know who they were, so I went online. I want to know who's singing, because I had a problem with some of the groups. Some of the groups were these big bluegrass, you know, jing, 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 you know, all these little things, these little things they play. And to me, it was good entertainment. But I said, I want a group that comes on and worship. And also, I want the last two songs where the men will get up and worship. So when I come up, I'm coming in the presence of worship. So I talked to them, and we hit it off in South Carolina, was it? South Carolina, at the Crusades. And we never turned back. From there on, we went on to Africa and different places. We have traveled, and they would sing, and I would share the message. So I'll let you hear some song.
Good evening, everyone. It's good to be back again here this evening. I love the line in this song that says, "The King of all glory is passing your way." It's amazing to think that God who created this world, and you know, we may think He has so many things to do, but yet He is still mindful of each and every one of us, and He wants to move on our behalf. All we have to do is just reach out and touch Him, and our lives will never be the same. You could go ahead and roll that track while you figure out.
Jesus is moving. He's moving in this. The King of all glory is passing your way. Just reach out and touch Him. You'll never be the same. Jesus is moving. He's moving in this place. Jesus is moving. He's moving in this place. The King of all glory is passing your way. Just reach out and touch Him. You'll never be the same. Jesus is moving. He's moving in this place. We come into His presence with weary hearts and minds. We all have this in common. We are fighting for our lives. If you need a place of refuge, His arms are reaching out. If your body needs healing, well, the healer's in the house. Oh, Jesus is moving. He's moving in this place. The King of all glory is passing your way. Just reach out and touch Him. You'll never be the same. Jesus is moving. He's moving in this place. And He's breaking every stronghold of fear and unbelief. All the powers of darkness must crumble at His feet. Every spirit of oppression must go in Jesus' name. For the Holy Ghost is moving. He's moving in this place. Oh, Jesus is moving. He's moving in this place. The King of all glory is passing your way. Just reach out and touch Him. You'll never be the same. Jesus is moving. He's moving in this place. Oh, 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 Jesus is moving. He's moving in this place. The King of all glory is passing your way. Just reach out and touch Him. You'll never be the same. Jesus is moving. Oh, Jesus is moving. Oh, Jesus is moving. He's moving in this place.
Father's house are better off than I am now. You didn't think He'd take you in, much less call you son again. Instead, you found a mercy so beautiful and wild that it looks beyond your foolishness to seek a wayward child.
Condemnation, just a father who's been waiting to put his arms around you. Oh, the anticipation, what a great celebration. We were lost, but now found you. Oh, there is only rejoicing and a tender kindness shown when the prodigal comes home.
Rehearsing words to beg him for forgiveness. Then down the road you saw him in the distance. And as he ran to meet you face to face and wrapped you in his strong embrace, the acceptance in his eyes made you finally realize
that he'll always love you. You will always be his child. No matter where you've wandered,
no matter what you've done, there is no condemnation. Just a father who's been around you. Oh, he is his salvation. What a great celebration. For you were lost, but now he's found you. And there is only rejoicing
and a tender kindness shown
when the prodigal comes home.
And to every child of God who somehow lost their way, even now he's longing for you.
Can you hear him say, there is no condemnation, just a father who's been waiting.
When the prodigal comes home. So while we change the song, we'll introduce ourselves. I think we did that yesterday, but... Yeah, I should let you guys in on a secret. We don't usually talk, but because they're changing something, somebody's got to talk, and it's not a good idea for any of us to talk. So if we say something crazy, it's just because it's the nerves. We didn't do anything wrong.
Yes, but it is indeed a pleasure to be here this evening. And this next song we're doing, you know, sometimes in church we get comfortable, you know, just sitting in the pews. And, you know, God has called us to, you know, reach people outside as well, you know. It's not the people in here that only need to be saved. It's also those outside. So we want to encourage you guys that, you know, God is with you wherever you go. You know, he's not going to, you know, send you out there and just let you know. Figure everything out for yourself. He's going to be with you and, you know, all you got to do is just put your faith to your feet or feet to my faith. Which one is it, Canner? Feet to your faith, yeah. Faith to your feet, yeah. So we hope that you guys are encouraged by this song and it's a blessing to you.
As I said, we'd say something crazy.
Yeah.
I'm called into the darkest place to shine the light, sowing seeds of hope and the power of Christ. A voice in the wilderness, rescuing the lost, going where He sends me, no matter what the cost. I'm putting feet in my faith, bringing heaven to this place, taking hope to the hopeless in the power of His grace. And when you're battling for souls and there's no time left to wait, I'm bringing heaven to the hurting with these hands. Putting feet to my faith, I'm putting feet to my faith. How beautiful the feet of them that bring good news, going to the prisoner, the broken and abused, feeding the needy soul, mending broken hearts, moved by His compassion. That's where the healing starts. I'm putting feet to my faith, bringing heaven to this place, taking hope to the hopeless in the power of His grace. And when you're battling for souls and there's no time left to wait, I'm bringing heaven to the hurting with these hands. Putting feet to my faith, I'm putting feet to my faith. And when I reach the least of these,
I touch the heart of God.
And when one sinner bows his knee,
all of heaven will applaud,
calling prodigals and Pharisees
to find the Father's love.
More than words can say, the lives we live are lifting up the cross. I'm putting
feet to my faith, bringing heaven to this place, taking hope to the hopeless in the power of His grace. When you're battling for souls and there's no time left to wait, I'm bringing heaven to the hurting with these hands. Feet to my faith, bringing heaven to this place, taking hope to the hopeless in the power of His grace. When you're battling for souls and there's no time left to wait, I'm bringing heaven to the hurting with these hands.
I'm bringing heaven to the hurting with these hands.
I'm bringing heaven to the hurting with these hands.
Putting feet to my faith.
Putting feet to my faith.
Bringing allowing my feet to show my faith. Last night we talked about being salt and light, making a difference in the world we live in today. I want to go in a little deeper tonight. How do we do these things? We have been forgiven like the prodigal son. We have been taken back into the fold when he came home. The father's love was expressed. We talked about the woman that worshiped by faith. They had faith to believe. And they trusted God. And because of what God had done, they wanted to worship him. One was healed from a disease. The other one was a life of sinfulness, and they worship him. And then we talked about being the salt and the light, and how do we be light in a world of darkness. And that's why I asked them if they would sing that song, bringing feet to my faith, They sang that way. We had the country of Trinidad had a rough time with COVID-19, and we did a fundraising thing online. And that was one of the songs that was sang last year, July, I believe it was. And we raised funds to give food. Having faith and knowing who Jesus is great, we were saved so we could be in heaven, but so that we can share His love and His mercy. Tonight I want to talk about going a little deeper into compassion. What does it mean to have compassion? And then I want to share with you first one of the reasons why I think I was supposed to have this thing, but maybe we'll see a little bit later. One of the reasons why we do what we do. First, it was a day like any other day. It was a day when the farmers went out to work. It was a day when Wall Street was open up. It was a day the school children was going to work. It was a day when there was a local election. It was a day like any other day. But on that day, 17 men got into planes in Boston, Massachusetts, Logan's Airport. Yeah. And they all had evil thoughts in their mind. And you remember the story, if you're old enough, one plane that they were in hit the World Trade Center. Another plane hit the World Trade Center number 2. One plane went down in the fields of Pennsylvania. And one plane in the Pentagon. And over 3,000 people perished, died on that day. I lived in New York City. And people were jumping off 110 stories, 99 stories. Because of the fire that was below, they were trying to get away from the fire. And many of them wasn't saved. Some of them were going into a deeper fire. We call it 9/11, the attack on the World Trade Center. I remember that night in New York City, the people walking around with photos of their family saying, have you seen him? Have you seen her? This is my father. This is my brother. This is my sister. Have you seen them? Thousands of people. Over 3,000 died on that day. Many of them never heard the gospel, yet they live right next door to people who claim to be Christians. On the top of the World Trade Center had a restaurant where many people from Bangladesh worked. It's a Muslim country, and many of them never heard the gospel. And many of them never see the gospel. What are we doing as a church? Another thing is, I want to talk about compassion and feeling sorry. We felt sorry for those that perished at 9/11. We feel sorry when there's a good family in the church and they're doing good, the family is going great, and then something happened and the family is falling apart. And we feel sorry for that family. Or maybe it's a marriage. A beautiful young couple got married and things are going great. And then their life starts to go apart. And we feel sorry for them. I want to talk about the difference between being sorry and having compassion. If one of you want to come up here and just help me with this here. And while I just keep going, that would help me a whole lot. Yeah, you want to come up and just take this and I'll find my thing. We want to talk about compassion. There's a lot of scriptures that talk about compassion. I don't see a whole lot of scriptures about being sorry. I want to remind you of the story of the Good Samaritan. The Bible tells us that there was a man on his way to Jericho, and he was beaten up and he was thrown into the ditch. And while being in the ditch, laying there, a priest came by. He looked at a man, all beaten up and bloodied, and the priest, because of his religious belief, he felt sorry for the man, I believe. But he couldn't do anything. He just kept on going. He went into town, kept on going. And then a Levi came, and another man came, and he looked at a religious man also, and felt sorry. Maybe even went into town and told people, I saw a man who was all beaten up and bruised up. And this man looked at me. It's kind of like the family you see in church that is going through a rough time and you feel sorry for them. And what do you do to help? What do? We stay in our own comfort zone and we just sit here and, you know, we're doing okay. There's a lot of scripture that talks about compassion. I don't see a whole lot of feeling sorry. But then there was a man that came in the story on a donkey, a Samaritan. He wasn't a believer. He wasn't in the church. He was an outcast. You know the story of the Samaritans. The Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans because they were crossbreed people. The Jews felt they were better than the Samaritans. And the Samaritan came. And he saw the man. And he had to do something. He went beyond being sorry. He had compassion on the man. He had compassion on the man, and he had to get off his donkey. He had to go down in the ditch. He had to hold the man, bloody it up, and clean him up. He had to take the man and put him on his donkey, and he had to walk, and the man rode all the way to the nearest hotel, motel. And now there's a cost to it. You see, compassion means you have to move, not just sit down. It moves you to the place where I need to do something about what's happening. We hear so many things in the world today, and we just sit in our comfort zone and feel sorry. I know some is doing it. Some. When I'm saying we, I mean there are some that is working. But I want to challenge you tonight. Let's stop feeling sorry. And let's have compassion. And he went in and he paid for the man. He says, listen, I'm going to leave. And when I leave, if there's any more expense, put it on my tab. See, sometimes money can control us. It's hard to give. This man gave because he had compassion. Another story. If you have your Bible, you could open it up if you want to. In the book of Nehemiah, the very first chapter, I want to look at compassion. What is compassion? Are we a church of compassion or are we just feeling sorry? It's just a feelings. In the book of Nehemiah, the first chapter, it said that there were brothers that came. Brothers came, and Nehemiah, he was living in the cast in the palace. He was the wine bearer. He was the taster of the wine. He had a good job. He was in a comfort zone. He was living the life. But he made a mistake. Not a mistake, but he inquired. He asked, how is those that are left back into captivity? Those that are lost, those that are gone, how are they doing? And the report was, the gate has been burned, and the walls have been broken down, and there's chaos. As we look at our world today, we can see that the gates have been burned, and the walls have been broken down, and there's only trash coming through. In our schools, in our church, in our society today. What are we doing as a church? Well, we feel sorry for them, but we got a good thing going here. We got our family, we got money, we got. But when Nehemiah heard about it, the Bible says He started weeping. He wept and he mourned and he fasted. He was feeling sorry for what was happening. And it's great for us to pray and to seek, but what are we going to do? Are we just going to stay when God is calling us to do more? And if he call you, he'll supply it. I tell you about 9/11. That's when the ministry started. Out of the ashes of 9/11, God bring forth the beauty of the ministry, his glory ministries. But I had to get up and try and do something. See, I had moved back to New York City and I was, you know, making money and I was working and everything was going great. And my plan to move back to New York City was for evangelism. But I didn't have time to do that. Because I was trying to make money. Nothing wrong with making money. But what are you making it to do? Are you making money or money making you? Nehemiah. He went in and he started praying and he said, Lord, you know, you said in your word, you know, if we would move away from you, you would scatter us. But if we come back to you, and he pleaded and he prayed. And he prayed for a whole season. From one season to the next season. Now it's time for action, Nehemiah. Walk before the king and the king says, Nehemiah, why your face looks so drawn? Why you look so sad? And he said, how could I rejoice? And he apologized and he said, you know, my people are in distress. I just can't live the life, just enjoy life like I normally do. And the king said, what do you want? He said, okay, well, this is what I need. I need a pass from you so that I can go to see for myself what's happening. To examine the land. And the king gave him that. And he said, what else you need? I need some lumber. I told him what he need. And now he had to leave the comfort of the palace. With no one else, so just him on the horse, he went and he looked and he surveyed the land. Going beyond being sorry and having compassion. Coming out of your comfort zone. And going out into a world to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And when I say going out, I don't mean you have to go to New York City or Africa. You can do it right in your own community. When you stop at a gas station, do you try to share Christ? I used to always walk with a track or two, so when I stop in places, first we talk about something. You know, if I'm in Michigan, I talk how great Ohio State is. When I'm in Ohio State, I talk how great Michigan State is. And we have a conversation started up, and once it starts up, and then we get into Christ. We get a little relationship starts building first. But always trying to help those that has a need. Nehemiah came out of the zone. But let's look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? The Bible tells us that there was Jesus preached and he preached and he preached and all the people, they just stayed and they just enjoyed the word, but now they got hungry. And they're tired. And the disciples felt sorry for the people. And they came and they said, Master, the people is hungry. Should we send them away? See, that's the easy way. They're hungry. Sounds good. I'm sorry for them. Send them away. So they could go home and get food. And Jesus says, no. He had compassion on them. And he says, no. Feed them. Jesus. All these people, where would we have? We don't have the money for this. See, we don't need an abundance. Whatever little we have, God can multiply. I've seen it done over and over and over again. The little we have, we give it to God, and he can multiply it. The little wisdom of the knowledge of the Bible, God will multiply it. I've been in times in New York City and places where I didn't even know what to do, what to answer. And God just gave me the word. See, sometimes we think it's always money. It's not always money. Whatever you have, he don't need your ability. He just need your availability. Are you available? See, life is more than just Sunday morning church. It's good to come to Sunday morning church. But what do you do on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? What do you do when you hear the family down the streets is going through a rough time? As a church, I was glad when I'm glad when people come and families come to the fam house and rekindle the fire. When marriages. And sometimes it takes a lot. I remember there was a marriage that was falling apart. The man had divorced his wife. Well, he had filed divorce for his wife. And he's from Trinidad, and his wife's in Trinidad. It's my wife's family. And I told my wife, we need to go to Trinidad and meet with him. It's going to cost us money, time. But I felt in my heart, this is what God wanted me to do. But it's going to be inconvenient. This is not about me. This is about what God is doing here. And we went, and it took us till 1 o'clock in the morning. And the man says, nope, I don't want her. I file a divorce. I'm done. I said, okay, we have a marriage retreat this weekend. Would you come? Small island called Tobago. All expense. You don't have to pay anything. Just come. People in Ohio had sponsored this event. Just come. One couple from right here in Napanee was along with us, Joe and I and Mary Ellen. Another couple from Holmes County, two couples from Holmes County, two New York Amish guys and their wives went along. And we shared and we talked and we talked and we, at the end of the sessions, we've been trying to get this guy marriage to be fixed. But at the end, there was an altar call. Do you want to be saved? And he came up. And God brought their hearts back together again. It was nothing that I did. It was all that he did. But it mean I had to play a part in it. Oh, great. Everything was well until 2 years later. He filed divorce again. Lord have mercy. And now he's filed divorce and the final paperwork and everything. And it so happened that same time we're going back to Trinidad again to do another marriage retreat. And I called him up and I said, hey, we have another marriage retreat. He said, yep. And I left it at that. Then he called me back and said, he wants to come. Well, you left your wife and now you want to come to a marriage retreat. Who are you bringing? My wife. Well, come on. Came. And God worked again. See, sometimes we think it's a one-time thing, but in this field of evangelism, in reaching the hearts of people, the enemy is always there too, trying to destroy you. We went back down, we went to another marriage retreat, and then he went back to tell the judge he doesn't want a divorce anymore. The judge said, listen, I'll give you 30 days. In 30 days, if you still want a divorce, it's right here. The paperwork is here. If not, we'll get rid of it. They're still married today. To the glory of God. But it was an inconvenience for us. Same thing happened in Jamaica. Got a call from a woman in Jamaica. Her husband cheated on her. And you know, she wanted, you know, marriage. And I told my wife, I feel we need to go to Jamaica. Some of you know Steve Stutzman, took him along with us, and there's a family in Jamaica that sang. And today, she sends words of encouragement for me. I went there to encourage her and her husband, and now they're encouraging us. Jesus said, give them something to eat. Are we really caring for the lost? Compassion. I want to show you a couple of pictures as I go down here of why we do what we do and how we do it. This was our very first marriage retreat in Trinidad, right up here. This is the second one. No, this is the first one. This is the second one. That was about 10 years ago. This year is my wife's brother and his wife. And they were about to separate also. And today, they're still together to the glory of God. This young man back here and his wife. Him and his wife had been married 1 year. His name is Dwayne Weeks. He is the director for Campus Crusade for Christ in the island of Trinidad. And they came that night for counseling. And the guy was doing the counseling, which is this pastor right here, told him there's a marriage retreat here. Stay. Then you could go home and get clothes and come back. And the first night they came, he sat on one end of the couch and she sat on the other side of the couch. 1 year marriage. By the next night, they were so close together, I got to tell them, you know, give a little ear to pass through. The power of God. We just do what God has called us to do. And it costs money. All these marriage retreats we did, these people had to pay nothing at all just to come. And then we went on to Africa. You know, you think you have it tough here. How many of you know someone that is poor? You know someone that is poor? Because you know someone that is poor? Does that poor person get 2 meals a day, 3 meals a day? Figure around 2 or 3 meals a day. These children get 1 meal a day. 1 meal a day. And they line up for 1 meal a day. They have no school. The poor people you know, there's a school that they can go to. And when they do have a school, it's under a tree. 1 day a week. Do you feel sorry for them or do you have compassion? Well, I can't go to Africa, but maybe you can help in some way. Because how could someone be hungry and you want to share the gospel unless you give them something to eat? COVID-19 came, they say, wash your hand, wash your hand, wash your hand. Drink. Will you drink water from there? Would you even wash your hand from water that comes from a place like that? See, we're living in comfort. We think we're living in a tough time. And then when you do fill your water up, put it on your back and walk a mile to the village so that we can have water to drink. I want to talk about compassion a little bit tonight as I talk about ministry. And then you put it all there and you come and you make a big pot of porridge. One thing they have is milk, because the Maasai's, they have cows, and that's the only thing they have is milk. So everything is milk. No solid food. You can get water from someplace else too. This man in the picture here, they have a ministry. You talk about compassion. They have a ministry. I don't know, do you know what jiggers is? Jiggers? I don't know. Is that an English? Is that an American word? With your feet all... Their ministry is they go wash these people's feet. Wash their feet. Now, this is Africa. We're not talking about people with Nikes on and nice sneakers and socks. And I'm talking about people walking bare feet. Wash their feet. Then you can share the gospel with them. Then they see someone that does not just talk about caring, but someone that really cares. Talk about love. That is love. That's what you get, once a day. And you sit down, and you eat it up. I'm not showing you this picture for you to feel sorry. I want you to have compassion. Maybe God is calling you to help in some way, but it may be an inconvenience for you. Maybe it costs something. I'm not looking for money for me. When I travel and I tell people, but with the suffering that I've seen. In November, myself and 4 other men is going up into this place called Tucana. It's way up in the north. The temperature there is around 106, 110. Very hot, humid, dry. This is something they want up there, some food like this, chapati, some flour. It's all you need, flour. Flour and maybe a little bit of oil and some water, and they will eat that. And that's a big meal. Many of our children complain because the French fries wasn't, or the burger wasn't. I'm not saying that to make you feel guilty, but I'm just saying the suffering in the world today. That's another thing they can eat called ugali. My wife don't like it because it doesn't have any taste and it's just flour. This is the porridge they can drink. That's make it a little nicer, a little flavor to it. Church, nice, soft pews. When I finish with a service in some of these churches, this is a church in a place called Nukuru. I mean, it's sawdust. There's no carpet. On the ground, it's sawdust. And when it starts clapping and jumping and the sawdust is just flying, and I could hardly breathe. But somebody got to do it. And if God is calling you, don't hold back. If God is calling you to support, be there. These young men live in a stadium, an old broken down stadium. That's where they sleep. Many of them didn't have a shower for days, weeks. I remember the Chitons were with us and we went in Nairobi and we had a meal and sharing a message and they sang. But when I walked into that little church building, it stinks. I mean, sweat from a month ago. They don't shower, they don't change their clothes, their skin is this thick with mud. I mean, it's bad. And I stand in it and I thought, Lord, you love them. And I want to love them like you love them. And the smell started changing. The smell, just like I told you of the pastor in New York, the smell started changing. Because I started seeing them like Jesus see them. But it wasn't easy when we first walked in there. You remember that one? In Nairobi. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, He will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for Him. He's a God of compassion. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ, God, forgive you. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassion never fail. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. This is school. We complain that in New York, the big problem is we can't have school and get a CO for the, whatever you call CFO, whatever you have to get for the building because there's no air conditioning. I mean, we got carpet on the floor, we got that, but there's no air condition. They got full air condition, 106 degrees of air condition. We're also going to one of the second largest refugee camp with over 89,000 people. Most of them don't even get a meal sometimes. This is what you live in. How many of you would live in one of those? We complain that we need a new kitchen set and dining room set. We complain that the windows have a little crack in it and the air's coming in and the air conditioner is going out. I'm not saying we shouldn't have nice things. But do we think of those others that have nothing? If you do have school under a tree, you have to walk. No shoes on your feet, maybe sometimes some slippers. And then when you get there, you sit on the ground. When we serve food, there's no forks, no spoon. This young lady you see here, all smiling, and this is what she looked like 4 years ago. She was gifted in singing, and she would sing in the high school. But the night we went into that school, they were sending her home that night because she couldn't pay her school fees. This is another part of Kenya. She couldn't pay her school fees. And someone with compassion said, you know what? I want to pay her school fees. She wept. When we told her the good news that someone was going to pay her school fees, she don't have to go home. And this is her family today. She's right here with a smile on her face. And not only is she smiling, but she's even going out now back into the school and sharing the gospel. Again, what are we doing for Christ? It's not about us. It's not about the money. It's good that we can pray, because that's very important. Because prayer moves a mountain. Someone told me sometimes you got to have a shovel just by. And then, take our children to see some things like these. We want to take them to Disney World. And I'm not here to condemn anyone, but there's places they need to see how God has blessed them. Many people I know went into ministry because they came with a group to New York City. And they came with a group to New York City and they see the needs for ministry. And it opened their eyes, living in a sheltered community. They can do more. I want the children to come. We want to close with a song. I just wanted to share some of these things. Our marriage retreat. Maybe I do this here a little bit. This is one of our marriage retreats while they come in Haiti. This is one in Jamaica. We even had some Amish folks went along too. You know, you come along with us. You don't ask for permission to fly, but when you come home, you just, you know, confess that you did wrong. And you, I'm not saying you do that, okay? You some Russian Mennonites from Canada. They came. That's at a farmhouse. Some of you have been there. I know your church leadership had been hit there. Where we try to encourage and bless marriages. Another one in Jamaica with Ryan Baumgartner, Ryan and Friends. This is the one I showed you early on. But I want them to come and I want them to sing whatever God lay on their hearts. But I want you to think of some of the things we talked about tonight. And have compassion. Someone you know have a need. A family that is falling apart. Maybe it's a couple that needs some attention. Take time out. Talk to them. Walk with them. Pray with them. Maybe if you could afford to send them on a vacation. Maybe for counseling or whatever you think may help. We can do that. See, we have a church today where there's a puddle of water on the ground. And everyone is saying there's a puddle of water, but no one wants to get a mop to mop it up. And then somebody slip and fall, and all of a sudden it's chaos. See, it takes a little time and energy to go get a mop and mop it up. So when the marriage falls apart, they say you can't divorce and remarry. But the horse already left the barn. The families break up, and the children leave the home, and they leave the church, and they leave the presence of God. And now we're trying to bring them back in.
The blood that caused the life that paid my way to the tribes. When it flowed down from the cross, my sins were gone, my sins forgot. There is a grave that tried to hide this precious blood that gave me life. But in 3 days, he breathed again and rose to stand in my defense. And so I come to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he dries every tear that falls. So I come to tell you that he saves, to shout and to proclaim that he's coming back for you. There is a blood that sights the blind. It heals the sick, the lonely finds. It has the power to free the bound. The chains they fall upon the ground. Oh, so pour it out to cleanse my soul and let its precious glory flow. For it lives to make me whole. I own my life, I owe my all. And so I come to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he dries every tear that falls. And so I come to tell you that he saves, to shout and to proclaim that he's coming back for you. Gave me life, but in 3 days he breathed again and rose to stand in my defense. And so I come to tell you he's alive, to tell you that he tries every tear that falls. And so I come to tell you that he saves, to shout and to proclaim that he's coming back for you. And so I come to tell you he's alive.
That's compassion. That's compassion. He didn't feel sorry for us and just left us. But he hung on a cross. And he died. And he rose again. So you and I can be saved. And we can go and share the good news. Could we have one more song, right? We need at least one more. Yeah, we need one more. Oh, you know, there is a next one. The one with the grave, the empty tomb. If you have that one. Yeah, that one's one of mine. In the prison again. Right, they'll bet they can't say no, right? I wish we had time, but see the young ladies walking back there? When we went, they wanted a trip with us when we went to Israel. I mean to the, what is it called?
Mediterranean.
The Mediterranean thing where they sang on the ship and everything else. She couldn't walk. She was in a wheelchair. All the time she was in a wheelchair. The power of God to heal. It was sometimes, you know, they had to lift her up, put her in the bus, lift her up, bring her to the bus. And yet God, in His goodness, His grace, His mercy, and His healing, He didn't feel sorry for her. He had compassion on her. But even while she was going through this time, it didn't stop her from traveling, going with us in the prison, having to be wheeled in a wheelchair. We had a wheelchair, we had a wheelchair in New York. There was a young lady in New York that had been in a wheelchair for a long time. We were able to use that and crutches. It was really, really bad. And then COVID came, and out of the destruction of COVID, ended up in Jamaica, in Grenada. And with the wisdom that God has given doctors and with His healing power, today she's walking again. That's a miracle.
I walked by the tomb of Buddha. I looked inside and saw his bones. So I traveled on to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed to a garden where old Joseph, he left him there. But the precious Lamb, God's own begotten, he was no longer in that grave. If you knew him like I know him, you would know that he's alive. And if you felt him like I feel him, deep inside, you know he's living and death has died. So if you're standing in the darkness, come and step into the light. His nail-pierced hands, they reach out to help you, to pull you safe from death to life. Yes, I too, I stood where you stand. How could I trust? Oh, in things unseen, but just one step in His direction, and then in love He ran to me.
Yeah. If you knew Him, the light I know Him, you would know that He's alive. And if you felt Him, the light I feel Him, resurrection deep inside, you know He's living and better than you.
Appreciate the challenge, and let it speak to our hearts. And would you have a closing prayer for us?
Let us stand up and pray. And then, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we give you thanks and praise. But Lord, you didn't just look down and felt sorry, but Lord, you sent your Son, your only Son, to hang upon a cross, to be spat upon, to be abused. And then He was buried, died and buried, and He rose again.
Amen.
And thank God that Jesus Christ rose again, that we can rise again. Thank you, Lord, for your compassion upon us.
Amen.
That while we were yet sinners, O God, you chose us to die for. Father, we pray tonight, if there's just one they do not know you as Lord and Savior, tonight will be the night they will cry out to you.
Yes.
Lord, they will cry out to you, Lord, and ask God to save them. To save them, O God, from their sins. Lord God, that they will repent. And I know that you're a God that loves your people. That's why you died. And you're there for those one sinner that would come home. Tonight, Lord God, I pray for any heart here tonight that wants to turn to you, your Spirit will move. God, you will quicken in them. We do not know what tomorrow may bring. There was a lot of plan this week for that Congress lady and her people. They had lots of plan. But Lord, in just a split moment, it was the end of the road. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. May we make that choice tonight. Maybe we have walked away